I'm Avery Mars.
And I'm Brendan Roach.
And you're listening to the Kettle Club podcast on the St. Joseph Sports Network. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Kettle Club podcast. I'm Avery Mars, and joining me virtually on our Shelter at Home edition through Zoom is my co-podcast person, Brendan Roach. Brendan, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while.
I'm good. As good as everybody can be at this time. But how are you?
I'm good. Trying to stay positive. You know, Mondays are Mondays usually, but the rest of the week I try and stick to a routine.
It's weird. I feel like the weekend goes faster now that we're away because you're doing the same thing and the weekend just kind of flows through the week.
Yeah.
It's just like a week.
Thursday and Friday are a blur to me too. I feel like it's just all kind of, it's all blending together. Where are you? Are you in Philly still or are you at home?
I'm in New Jersey, just over the bridge over in Cherry Hill.
Okay.
I've been here for most of it. I go back to my apartment and check on my cat. But
is that a hot zone, Cherry Hill?
No, Northern Jersey is a little bit worse.
Okay.
So
what's it? Have you gone grocery shopping? Are you the designated shopper, or have you kind of stayed mostly inside?
I don't like people primarily, like especially during this. I think it brings out, for some people, it brings out the best in people, and I try to be very positive, but like, going into this, I've gone into a shopping center twice since it's happened. I really do think it brings out the worst in people.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the shopping centers, which they're doing their jobs here, but they're doing where, like, I was in Whole Foods the other day, they're directing you with the lines and the arrows, so you can only, like, go around one way, and multiple people were cutting, and I was trying to do some, like, deep breathing meditation so that I didn't yell at the people to follow the arrows. Because the arrows are pretty large, you know, so like you can see them, but it's definitely an interesting dynamic, you know, even going grocery shopping because only like one, two people at a time and you kind of wait for somebody else to come out. It's definitely a weird time.
Yeah. And now that we all are wearing masks inside grocery stores and public places, it's like, I feel like people don't social distance. So they like get like right on your back or like aren't patient. That kind of thing, especially in grocery stores, where you were just like, describing the situation.
The East Coast is like where it's been really hit. And I feel like East Coast people are very just like about like them, not about themselves, but like they do what they have to do and they kind of keep a straight line and like don't mind other people. But at this point, we're kind of in a situation where you have to, you know, you have to be cognizant of people next to you and around you because we can't, you know, we can't just bump into people or, you know what I mean? Like it does have to kind of be an orderly movement, you know, wherever we are.
Yeah. And you can't really help people either. So like for instance, like typically when I go in a grocery store, if somebody drops something, I pick it up for them, but like, you can't do those types of things that are just like very like normal and just, oh, I'm going to do this. So it's definitely something to get used to. I mean, I think we all just have to figure out the way that we can do it as best as we can.
Yeah.
But
I find myself like smiling very aggressively under my mask at people. And then I realize I'm like smizing kind of, cause I'm trying to smile with my eyes open big. And it's like, I'm probably scaring people. They're probably like, they're probably social distancing because they're scared of my dagger eyes as I try and smile. But it's definitely important. I think that we, you know, stay positive in the best way that we can and try and like get those social interactions, even if it is like if something does drop, you know, like picking it up and trying to, you know, hand it off and keep moving, doing those little things I think are important. So I think it's going to be a good just topic today to talk about in general mental health and staying positive. And we have a good guest, Caroline Duffy, who will be joining us, and she leads the Hawks Minded group. I think it'll be really good just to kind of get her perspective, you know, what she's doing personally. Obviously we're wondering just how she is, but also, you know, what she sees in the future of St. Joe's Athletics after, you know, this is all over and kids are still dealing with what's going on. And of course, my former teammate, Lula, who was in Spain, we'll be talking to her as well and kind of getting her perspective from a little bit farther away and a little bit more dire circumstances in terms of distancing and really like staying in lockdown. So I'm excited.
Definitely. Yeah. I think we, these two, girls that we're bringing in are really, both of them have powerful messages. And I feel like both of them have very unique situations that they're working through during this time.
Yeah. And I'm just, you know, any social thing I can get, I, you know, I'm telling my friends, want to Zoom? You know, they're like, Avery, we can just FaceTime. I'm like, no, it's Zoom. We're Zooming. This is a new thing. So, you know, I'm excited just, of course, to, you know, talk to you and also to talk to them, because I think we need to stay connected in the best way we can during this time. So
without further ado, we'd like to introduce our first guest. We're happy to be joined by Caroline Duffy, a senior on the women's track and field team at St. Joseph's and one of the founding members of Hawks Minded, a campus mental health support group. Caroline, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I've been listening to this forever, so I'm happy I can finally be on with you guys.
You're already bringing a good energy, Caroline.
Thanks.
The tone went up. I felt a good vibe, good positive vibe. How are you, though, overall? You doing okay?
Yeah, I mean, we're hanging on. What has it been, like a month now of quarantine? Something. And it's crazy. My birthday is actually on Sunday.
And happy early birthday.
Oh, thanks. And I was telling my parents, I mean, I've been running track since third grade. So I always pictured my first birthday not being in sport, a little different. But I mean, like, it's all good. I mean, my family's healthy. I'm healthy. We're lucky that we can quarantine and stay in place. We don't have to worry about anything like that. So, I mean, it's interesting times for everyone, but otherwise pretty good. How are you guys? How's everything going over there?
We're good. I'm in Philadelphia and Brendan's in Jersey. So where are you right now? Where is home?
I'm home in Collegeville right now. I moved back over spring break because it was just one of those things like, yeah, might be coming back, might not. And I live so close. I'm only like 35, 40 minutes. So I just moved everything out and I've been home ever since.
Yeah, I feel like you're one of the people that's kind of in that like limbo of, you know, being a senior. And I'm sure, I know we talked about it a little bit, like you were definitely preparing for what was next or at least thinking about it, but you kind of were snapped into, all right, now this is real now. I really have to kind of make some decisions and see what's next, you know, after St. Joe's Athletics. So how's that kind of quick transition been so far?
It's been really interesting. So with everything going on at school, I'm a double major in food marketing and business intelligence. And how I formatted my classes was that I only took four this semester. And my last class, I was supposed to study abroad in Greece for a month and get that out of the way. Got to walk in graduation and like they'd mail me my diploma, no big deal. And I accepted a job offer with Kellogg. So how that was going to work was that I was going to go on board with them mid to end September once my degree finally came in. So get to go to Greece, have one last summer vacation with the family and stuff. Like life was good, but this turned everything on its head. And I mean, I'm still really fortunate that I have a job with them, but now I'm going to be starting in late June as opposed to late September because I'm going to be getting the class done earlier and they're like, no big deal. Like if you just have to start now, go for it. So going to be doing that. So I'm going to be entering the workforce a little earlier than anticipated, but hey, at least I get to. So, I mean, I'm a little nervous for that, but I'm also really excited. So it should be pretty good.
I feel like sometimes we need a good shove into this. Yeah. The slow pace sometimes isn't always the best. So that's good though.
Absolutely.
And even though you don't have that nice vacation period, you still have the adjustment period to really get acquainted and get situated with your work, which is still good. And you have a job. So that's a really good post-grad success story for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And yeah, like you said, I mean, yeah, like the whole like last vacation thing didn't work out, but I mean, these are trying times. And I mean, unfortunately, like everyone's suffering, like whether it's really small or really large. And I have friends who've lost internships, have lost job offers. So while it's an advanced start date, it's a start date. So, I mean, I'm still really lucky to even have one. But and I'm excited. I love Kellogg's. I worked for them last summer as an intern. I had a great time. I've been trying to get in with them since freshman year at St. Joe's. So, I mean, I'm finally ready to go. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It should be good.
Yeah, you definitely sound – I mean, that's one thing that we can all look at. It was where we all are in the same situation. So that's definitely something. And I feel like you're really positive about like, you know, if we can combat this, like work together and we'll come out better on the other side.
Oh yeah, for sure. Thank you. But like, when I talked to Jamie Apody over at Action News Channel 6, there was something that didn't make it into the segment, but one of the questions she'd asked me was, throughout this whole experience, like, what's something that you've learned about yourself and like other people around you? And the thing that I said is that I find that I'm a lot more compassionate. Like, we all are compassionate people naturally, but I think in a situation like this, I mean, we're all learning together, we're all suffering together, we're all in a weird way growing together through all of this. So I think it's definitely brought out all of our compassion towards ourselves and others. Like, a lot of people are taking this time to really focus on themselves and like their mental health, or like even just cleaning their space out or learning a new hobby. And then like compassion towards others. I mean, like, I know in our area, and I think a bunch of other areas, there's food stores that have like certain hours for senior citizens, and then other like demographics and age groups of people. So it's one of those things where it's like, it's understandable. And we're like, okay, like, this makes sense. Like, absolutely, they need to get in first, no big deal. And I think it's a weird thing to say, but I think it's kind of cool to see all of us kind of come together as a society and as a world, because I mean, this is a world issue. And I mean, yeah, so I think definitely compassion is something that I'm feeling during this, and I think a bunch of other people are as well. So thanks.
Yeah, I think that's one thing like athletes kind of have a leg up on. Just being on a team, I think you learn to not be as selfish and be selfless in what you do, and kind of be compassionate for others, you know, because sometimes you have teammates that are hurt, and then sometimes you have teammates that, you know, are doing really well, and you kind of have to find your place over and over again and be able to kind of adjust to people's feelings. And I feel like maybe people that aren't athletes don't necessarily experience that when they're not on teams, and maybe they are in like the workforce later on. But can you just talk a little bit about like being on a team, you know, for the last 4 years, and what that's kind of meant for you, and how you kind of see it affecting you just in times like this when we need to come together?
Yeah, absolutely. So how you're going off like compassion with teammates and even like coaches and trainers and everything like that. And some athletes might be injured and teammates and everything. I myself was injured this past winter. So I had a really serious hip injury, and it was one of those things where I went to the doctor, went to the trainer, and it was in my best interest to stop and heal, but I stopped so I would have a spring season. And then like, that just didn't really, that didn't really work out. But I mean, again, it's life. But when I was injured, it was really, really cool to see how my teammates still rallied around me, because I think as athletes, and like, we can all speak to this, we all are injured one way or another during our seasons and our careers at either the collegiate level, high school level, wherever you continue or stop your competition. And you're always afraid that I'm going to get injured, I'm not going to be around my teammates, they're going to forget about me, and I'm going to be missing out, and I'm not going to be as close with them because I'm not going to be around them as much. And that definitely did not happen, which is really awesome, because I was afraid of it. I mean, you're practice every day, you're with each other every weekend. That's your family. You see them more than your family. So, I mean, I was really lucky that I had really great teammates who really rallied around me, and they helped lift my spirits when I was really bummed out, especially senior year, you know, like, you one last A-10, one last this, one last that. And I mean, while my career didn't end the way I was expecting it to, I still got an amazing career, like, all the way through. Like, I have great memories all the way from when I started in third grade to my last meet that I ran at as a collegiate athlete. So, I mean, I'm like, during this time, I mean, of course, everyone dwells on like this time and like this time lost, but I'm trying to think more about the time I had, because that's kind of making it easier for me, and especially the teammates that I had, because if it weren't for them, and I mean, all of us can say that, the sport consists of the sport itself and the people who do it with you. So I'm lucky that I had really great people around me for that.
Yeah, I've been personally just reflecting on how much of a planner I am, and how this is really like sidelined all plans. And I know in the office with Brendan and Nikki and Joe, we've had conversations about, you know, what's next, like, oh, what we're doing next weekend or in 2 months from now. You know, Joe's talked about different soccer games, or, you know, whatever plans we have, whether that's work wise or, you know, just socially, and especially athletically, for being in a place where like plans are no longer, like, you can't really even look towards the future because you don't know. I think it's, you know, something that I've really been reflecting on, just trying to figure out like how to be present. And I think you're a great person to talk to about that, because I know you tend to be very present and kind of take life day by day, you know, in the best way that we can. So.
Oh, thanks.
Just moving forward though, I think again, we could talk about you for hours because, well, you are a very positive person. And I think, you know, Brenda and I both attested to just hearing even in your voice and, you know, how you talk and how you carry yourself. And I think that lends itself to Hawks Minded and what you've really created. I know you've had a lot of help, you know, Eric and other student body people that have really helped you, but you definitely are the driving force of Hawks Minded. And I hope everyone listening already knows what it is, but if you could kind of talk a little bit about, you know, how you got it started and especially just how you're kind of transitioning now, you know, trying to reach out possibly to athletes or, you know, what you guys are doing as a group.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, like you said, Hawks Minded, I've had great help behind me. I mean, like, I'm super lucky with our leadership team. They're amazing. Like, they went above and beyond for this group this past year. And same with Eric. I mean, if it weren't for him, it wouldn't have been even a thing. But so how Hawks Minded even came to be was back in September, I'm part of Active Minds, which is a mental health organization on campus for all students. And we were working an event called Send Silence Packing, which is an event where you take backpacks of students who have died by suicide or family members who have lost people, and they donate a backpack and they decorate it. And what it is, it's supposed to symbolize the amount of students per year that we lose to suicide. It's about 1,100 a year, which is way too high.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the event is very triggering, so we have trigger warnings up and everything, but overall, it really is an insightful and very powerful event. So I was lucky to work it, and I was working one of the tables, and on the tables, they had little slips of paper for different demographics of students. So like students of color, first generation college students, student athletes, things of that sort. And you take them anonymously. It's like any other table. You can walk by, take a free sticker, take a little slip of paper, no big deal. And especially this event, we try not to really be like watching the tables too much, because again, it's a very intimate subject and some people might be a little embarrassed or uncomfortable. And towards the end of the event, we noticed the only slips, like demographic wise, of students that were out were student athletes. They were the only ones that we ran out of all the other ones. So me being a student athlete, that was very alarming. So that night I went home and I emailed Janet and I had said, look, I worked this event. This is what happened. I've started to kind of reflect on my time at St. Joe's, and while the events that we do have for the student athletes are really important, such as sexual assault awareness, drugs and alcohol abuse awareness, things like that, I don't ever really recall us having a speaker or something around mental health and what we can do to combat that. So this was when Eric first joined the Hawks family, and she linked me to him, and she's like, this is your guy, like, this is perfect, like, reach out to him, see what we can do. And I reached out to Eric, and the rest is history. But so I mean, I'm really hoping in the future, this group, since it was its first year, we're still kind of taking off and trying to get more awareness. And again, it's still kind of a taboo subject to talk about, but that's what the point of the group is to make it less taboo and to really make us like Hawks-minded individuals surrounding mental health and normalizing it in our community. So looking to the future, I'm really hoping that this is something that takes off and the student athletes will utilize, because I know my sophomore year self, when I was really struggling with my anxiety and depression, I really could have used just even an atmosphere with peers like myself or who wanted to learn about what I was going through, like surrounding me, just so I would feel a little more normal, whatever normal may be. But yeah, so hopefully hoping it stays and it impacts and helps others, because that's the whole goal around it, really.
Yeah, and I think me and Avery were talking about it, and it's one of those, you had said taboo, and it's really difficult to talk about. And I think the way that you guys had figured out that there was an issue, or if there could be an area to be improved, I think that's really a great way of doing it, because like we had talked about how it is difficult to speak out, and that's like an anonymous survey. That's not even a survey, really. I think that was really, and what you guys are doing is really great.
Oh, thanks.
And again, like it definitely is powered by, you know, obviously you said you have Eric's help and other people's help, but it's powered by you being vocal and sharing your story. Like I know Nikki did a piece on you and you were not only honest, but just very raw. And I think sometimes we try and sugarcoat even, you know, some things, and we try and be open. We still kind of sugarcoat how we're feeling. And I think just having somebody like you kind of at the forefront, not only saying like, you know, I struggle from these things, but also saying, you know, I did struggle and I'm going to continue to work on it every day, but I have overcome it in some way. And I think, you know, leading the charge in that way is really powerful. And whoever, you know, kind of follows in your footsteps, you know, as you move on, I think has some big shoes to fill. So what are you doing, you know, to kind of help the program continue on? Because I think, like you said, it is a necessity and it is something that, you know, I think a lot of athletes could benefit from.
Yeah, thank you for all of that, by the way. That was awesome.
You're going to say thank you for the whole thing because we can't.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But so what we're really doing to try to keep this group alive and well and thriving is when Eric and I met initially in September, and we knew that this would be something too big for just one person. And I mean, like you said, I'm like kind of the spokesperson for the group. A, because like I'm naturally a little loud, but that's okay. Loud vocal cords. And B, like I'm comfortable. Like I'm okay with my struggles and what I've gone through. And not everyone is. And again, totally fine. Everyone's at their own level, their own process of what they're dealing with. And when we had met, we wanted to put together a leadership team, like people who would help with like the social media that we were building before all of the virus stuff happened. Organizing meetings, like getting the word out, things like that. So we put together a team of people, freshmen to senior. So we have people in the leadership team who are first years and a few seniors like myself who are on their way out. So we wanted to spread out the leadership team by grade just so that when we do leave, there's still younger people there who know what to expect, know what to do, know what the club's about, and bring more people on so that like year after year after year, there's someone there to fill in the spots, if that makes sense. So luckily, it worked out great. I mean, especially for our leadership team, everyone was very much on the same page. And I mean, student athletes, especially, I mean, we're very structured, we're very organized, we're really reliable. And I mean, I had a great experience with all of them. I mean, from the freshman to the senior, you could ask anything of anyone and they'd do it. So I'm hoping that come next year, we had set up kind of like, we want to start making more official permanent roles in a way. So like electing a president, a vice president, a treasurer, marketing and social media and things like that to really give people that leadership role and like that role in the group and make them feel like you're really making a difference in people's lives and to keep it going. So I'm hoping that when I'm not sure how they're going to go about electing those officials and everything, because again, now that we're not on campus, it's a little more difficult, but I'm gonna still be in contact with Eric about how we should go about this before I'm officially on my way out, before I have to say goodbye for sure. But yeah, so hopefully
they're gonna be calling you next year like, Caroline, we need help with this, you know, which I'm sure you'll be there to help, because I know that's you and that's, you know, what you're gonna want to do. But I kind of have a question for both Brendan and you. I was again, reflecting, of course, on everything that's going on. And I always try and look at it from, you know, what I'm feeling, but also what other people may be feeling. Because you said it, there's varying levels of this, right? So some people may be sick, some people may have a family member, some people may be isolated alone. You know, there's all these different varying kind of issues that go on with social distancing. So what, for both of you, like, have you guys thought about that's kind of worried you in terms of, you know, people's well-being? And like, what have you guys seen from your friends that's kind of like the scariest thing, I guess you could say, going on at the moment?
I think for me personally, the biggest thing that I've been struggling with is my grandpa and my aunt, because my aunt has cerebral palsy and my grandfather and her live together. And my grandfather needs help with my aunt, so they'll have nurses come in around the clock and everything. And she's really immunocompromised, and my grandfather is at that age where he too is compromised, and he's also had heart surgery and a few other things going on. So I'm sure if he hears this, he'll be like, I'm fine, like you don't need to worry about us. But it's just a natural thing. Like, I worry about them, and they're close, but it, like in the sense that they're close, but it's not even like we can go to them and help. Like, because the best thing that we can do is to stay away and shelter in place and everything. So it's one of those things that we're just really worried about them. But again, I mean, they're staying home. They're not doing anything. They have my aunt and uncle who live down the street, so they drop off groceries and everything. So they're taken care of. But, you know, it's like your family. You're going to worry. I mean, and I'm a worrier. I'm like, I'm positive, but I'm like, oh, I'm always just worrying about everything. So, I mean, that's our biggest thing. But again, like I said earlier, my family is really fortunate that we can shelter in place, because I know that there are people, like you said, who are alone, or this is really, really hitting them hard, whether financially, emotionally, mentally. And while we're all struggling a little bit with this, I mean, we're really fortunate on my end so far. So knock on wood, but things are okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think going off that, I mean, there's major like overlying things that I'm worried about, financial, like just state of everybody. And then from there, like you had said, I have a grandmother who lives with my uncle now, and she and he works for Walmart. So I'm like, he's going into the store every day and he's dealing with different people and he's going home. So I'm not as much worried about him as my grandmother, who's now getting into contact with him. And then there's people who I know who had just had a baby and they're coming home from the hospital and trying to figure out, how can we get people to like come and meet the baby without anything happening? So they're like peering in through a window so that they can see their grandchild or, you know, whatever. And I think it just hits people differently. I think there's a lot of unique situations out there. And I think it's, how can we allow everybody to do what they're doing on a day to day without really putting them in harm's way?
All right. Yeah. Like I asked you guys that, 'cause for me, like, I know everyone, you know, is dealing with their own thing. And I feel like at times when situations are so drastic, people don't want to complain or, you know, say what they're scared about, 'cause they don't want to seem crazy if they think they have it, or they don't want to seem like, you know, they're being just selfish by talking about, you know, something that's just going wrong with them if they are healthy and if they are, you know, doing overall okay. But what I've learned, I think, is like, it's important just to talk about, you know, what we're all scared about, like what we're going through today, you know, even if it's not being sick with the virus, even if it's just, wow, I've been isolating for a month and I'm going stir crazy. So Caroline, how do you think athletes, you know, are going to be able to rebound from this? And especially when the, you know, fall season start again, you know, what do you think that's going to look like in terms of people being back on campus and just going through, you know, this time period? Because it is a time period where it's unprecedented, but I think it is going to give us a lot of perspective and strength moving forward. You know, we can tell our kids we survived a pandemic, which I think is pretty cool. So, you know, things like that.
Yeah. The first word that came to mind when you said that was aggressive, because I know if I was a junior or someone who was able to come back, I would be using this time, you know, like, and again, I know not everyone has the situation. Some have to work, some have family members to take care of. But I think that a vast majority of the St. Joe's student athletes right now, they're hungry. They're like, you know what? Like, I got my season taken away from me. Like, people want me to falter. People don't want me to work hard. And like, that's not, I'm going to do the opposite. And that, I just get that vibe from like all St. Joe's athletes. Like, it's not just one team in particular. I think everyone is like, you know what? They gave me extra training time in a way, you know what I mean? I think that's how a lot of athletes are going to see it. So I'm really excited to see how sports are going to change on campus, because again, like, this is a crazy, uncertain, difficult, nuts time that we're all going through. But I think that the athletes are going to do what they do best and take difficulty and turn it into motivation. And I see on like Snapchat, Instagram, people like recording them working out, like doing all these things. And I'm like, that's so cool. 'Cause I mean, now that I'm a senior, I'm so lazy now. I'm like, I sit on the couch and play Animal Crossing all day. Like, I need a routine, or like, I need to get my butt in shape. I don't know.
The virtual Zoom workouts. You got to get a group. We'll start a group. We'll do one.
Yes. I'm like that scene in Twilight where Edward dumps Bella and she's just sitting like staring at the seasons go by like in her chair. That's all I do. I sit in my chair and I look out my window and play Animal Crossing.
she's not advising anyone else to do that.
Please do not do that. I am a bad example. I need to do more.
The Switch now is like $500 to get one. Wow. Because it, like, people have just been buying video games because they don't have anything to do.
Oh my god, I want to make it very clear I did not spend $500 on
You're balling on a budget over there. So much. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my, that is absurd. But yeah, it's getting a lot of game time in the past few weeks.
Well, other than a $500 Switch, which I would not advise for any student athlete, what tips do you have for some student athletes that, you know, are listening possibly about their mental health, you know, just kind of whether that's like something to do or, you know, something to focus on? Do you have any tips you'd like to share?
Yeah. So I think for anyone student athlete wise listening, keep working at it. I know the student athletes at St. Joe's are very hardworking. And again, like I said, I have no doubt in my mind that they're all working really hard. They're training harder. They're doing what they can to stay physically in shape, and that's great. But again, something that we falter in during this and at school is you're physically in shape, but mentally you have to make sure that you're in shape as well. So find something that calms you, like if whether it be reading, drawing, working out, like something like that. Because I know the other day I was I forget what I was reading. It was like something on Pinterest or whatever. And it was like, oh, like you can train your body, but like train your mind in this as well. And I was thinking about how for me personally, home is home. That's where I relax. That's where I watch TV. That's where I play my Switch. School is where I get my work done. Track is where I get my physical exercise done. And I think now that we're kind of sheltered in place, you really can't separate those things. So like work has now become your office. It's become your gym. It's become where you sleep. Like it's just become all these things. And for me, I really was struggling with that. Like, I think that's why I'm such a couch potato now, because I haven't exactly figured out how to switch those and like separate those from each other. So if anyone listening has, please hit me up because I need help. But
we all need help.
I'm supposed to be helping you guys now, but anyway. Figure out how to separate those, because I think that that's something that all of us are really struggling with. And if you can figure it out, man, good for you. Because I think that's a really good way to mentally help yourself and like be able to separate it and everything. And then again, like I said, like reading, writing, drawing, if you are sheltered in place with someone, like have a conversation. Don't have your phones out. Don't have the TV in the back room. Really just sit and talk. That's what's been helping me, at least, like the reading, the writing. The drawing, I'm like doodling and stuff, a little doodle journal, but pretty good. Yeah. So that's what I would do.
And since you're a couch potato, are you watching any Netflix shows or any Hulu shows? I'm not sure what your streaming platform preference is, but.
Oh my gosh. So obviously watch Tiger King. I have no words. That was ridiculous. I have no idea that was crazy. Also like super into corny, like high school teen like drama shows. So I don't know if you've ever seen The OC on Hulu.
I used to watch The OC with my sister when I was like little, because she's 7 years older than me. She would watch it like real time. I'd be like, I'd watch it with her.
That was Brendan's guilty pleasure, The OC.
I know all about The OC.
He like low-key thought he was Ryan Atwood.
I was seven, so I don't think so.
But it's so good. It is so corny and just, it's like borderline soap opera, but it's the best. I binged it in like 2 weeks.
You have to watch The Outer Banks. It just came out on Netflix. It's very like OC like very.
I'm going to start it tonight.
Yeah. You'll finish it quickly. Trust me.
Oh, sweet. But yeah, it's a great show.
I'm an advocate for binging. Some people are like, oh, that's not good. No, you got to binge it. Then you walk away for a couple of days, come back to a new show. You know?
Exactly. That's how you got to do it.
Well, thank you, Caroline, for coming on and speaking with us. It's nice to not only see your face through Zoom here, but also just kind of hear the positivity in your voice, you know, and you definitely bring a certain energy, even digitally, which is definitely, you should put on your resume, bring energy digitally. I think that's huge. And, you know, we always appreciate just talking to you, and of course, Hawk's Mind as well is a is a great program, and I hope that it continues on too, you know. And if they have to call you, then they have to call you, but it's going to keep going. So.
Well, thank you so much, Avery and Brennan. I mean, I've been a big fan of the show forever. And I was, when Nikki let me know about the show today, I was like, yes, I'm so excited I get to be on it. Well, thank you guys so much, seriously. And if anyone listening needs to know more about Hawks Minded or wants to know more about it or what they can do, they can just shoot me an email or whatever, and I'd be glad to let them know whatever they want to know.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, we're here with our second guest today, who is a junior on the women's basketball team, Lula, and she's checking in from across the Atlantic in Barcelona, Spain, dealing with a little bit different circumstances than we are here. Thanks for coming on, Lula. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to be here.
So how are you doing over there across the Atlantic in quarantine lockdown?
So, I mean, I'm good. At the beginning, it was hard. Stay completely locked down, because in Barcelona, I mean, in the whole Spain, they made that we have to be in our homes and we cannot go outside at all, just to buy food, like not even to exercise or like walk or anything. So it's hard, and at the beginning it was very hard, but now it's the fifth week and I'm getting used to it. But of course I'm bored and I would like to go outside, but I understand.
What was the transition, like, time period from school closing or, like, this basketball season ending and you going back? When you went back, was it just for kind of a break, in your opinion, and then you realized, oh, no, I have to stay?
So, yeah, we ended basketball a week before, or, like, the same week that we were going to on spring break. And because we didn't make it far, we had spring break off. And then I went home just to see my family for that week. And after that, like when I was here, they said that they had to close the school, the borders. So I could fly back, but I talked to coach and they told me that they prefer if I would spend like the whole time, like not being able to go back to school, like at home with my family. So I stayed here.
Were your parents, like, when you were kind of deciding what you wanted to do, did they have kind of an opinion on it too? Like, wanting you to, you know, obviously Spain being on lockdown first, I'm sure they weren't aware of, like, what was going to happen here.
Yeah, so the main point was if school was closed and nobody was there, like, I was going to be by myself.
Yeah.
They were telling me that I could do whatever they wanted, but they would prefer if I would be with them. Because, like, the time that we were going to be on lockdown, it wasn't sure, and still it's not sure yet. So they prefer if I stayed, but they told me, if you want to go, you can go. But again, I talked to coach, and they said it was better if I did that than stay at home.
I'm sure if I was home, my parents would be like, well, you can stay here, but you'll probably drive us crazy, so maybe you should head out.
No, yeah. It was more me than my parents, because when I'm in Philly, like, I do whatever I want, and I don't have, rules or anything. And when I came here, I started to have, like, my parents would say, like, do that, and I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. But now, that's why I'm, like, getting used to it.
And your brother's home with you, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how old is he?
He's 17.
Okay. So what was it for him? Was his, like, he's in high school, I'm guessing. So was that closed down and everything as well pretty immediately?
Yeah. I mean, I think they closed down like a week after, 2 weeks after, like us.
I feel like the high school, it's different with high school and like middle school kids with school, because they're used to going every day. Whereas college is a little bit easier transition academically. Like, how have you been adjusting to kind of having to do all of your classes online?
Yeah, so at the beginning I was very lost, because like, I didn't know how to do. Yeah, I was like super surprised. And still last week I was like, I had to do an assignment and I didn't know where to find it. So I was still lost. But now I'm kind of getting used to it. I mean, I like it more being at school, but now I'm used to the online school and it's fine.
Yeah, and your connection's good, so especially being internationally based, like, that's definitely helpful, and that's one less obstacle you have to overcome being that far away. But other than that, like, I've noticed particularly me and Avery are still in classes, I've noticed that our professors sometimes are the ones who seem to be more lost than we do. But yeah. Overall, do you enjoy like the classes being online?
Yeah, I prefer being at school, but I'm enjoying it. And the problem is like we're 6 hours ahead here. So like when I have my class on Tuesday and Thursday, I have a class at 5 p.m. and here it's at 11 p.m. at night. So yeah, that was kind of hard, but now it's fine.
Jeez. And then I guess considering we have to go to school and, you know, do all the necessary things like work still, you know, remotely, what are you doing in terms of like trying to get any exercise in or like something to just kind of decompress during this time?
Yeah, so I'm lucky because I have an elliptical bike and I have another bike at home. And also like the outside of my house, we have like a bunch of stairs. So like I can do a lot. And we also have a basket. So I don't know if you can hear my brother. He's playing right now and dribbling because it's up here. So we have a basket and we can do like I can get some shots up. And also I've been doing ball handling on the stairs. So I keep doing things to get myself like some exercise in. And I think I've been doing a lot. So.
Yeah. I saw on social media, you have like a rebounder almost. Do you know I'm talking like
that? Oh, yeah.
Explain that. What is that contraption that you have at your house?
Yeah. So at school, we have those shooting machines that they like when you shoot, like they give you the ball back. And it's like a system that my dad and my brother did when I wasn't here. So it's like the shooting machine, like they have the like the balls go in the basket and then there's a net, another net that gets you the ball, and there's like a special thing on the bottom that it's like a bed where you jump on and it gives you the ball back. I mean, like it's not as efficient
like
as
your a own shooting rebound, machine, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say you have a 17-year-old brother, he should be a rebounder.
Yeah, you. I mean, it's not super efficient, so like maybe like we put it towards one position and then he gets the rebound and he makes me the passes or, and then I do like 20 shots and then he does 20 shots. We kind of help each other out. Yeah.
Have you seen like any of your neighbors out while you're playing? Like what, I mean, here we're in like a more of a social distancing where people are still out like to grocery shop and like do some like just more walking around and running. And the fact that, you know, you guys can't go out to run. Have you seen anybody other than your family or has it just been, you know, your family for the past 5 weeks?
No, yeah. So the first week when I got back to Spain, like I was able to see some of my friends and my grandparents and my cousins, but after the lockdown, I haven't been able to see anybody. Like, and my neighbors like are old people. So I don't have like any of my friends around me.
Wow. How do you, I mean, I think this is kind of a loaded question, but how do you think, like, in general, everyone where you are is handling it? Like, obviously, this is something that's so, like, unprecedented for everyone, but, you know, Spain being a place that was hit very hard, and obviously you guys are, like, having to really just stay in your homes. How do you feel like talking to your friends and family members, like, how everyone in general is handling it?
I mean, I'm handling pretty good right now. I said at the beginning it was hard, but I've been FaceTiming my friends. And like, I think what the good thing that I do is like, I try to keep my day busy. So like, I don't see my phone as much. And then when I talk to my friends, like I FaceTime them and then like, I can, like we keep in touch with each other. But everyone is like the same, like wanting to get outside. But we have to stay at home and help.
Are you staying in your touch with your teammates in kind of the same way? Like, I know I've seen some different things where like teams are now Zooming together or like call in. How are you staying in touch with like coach and your teammates in the same kind of way?
Yeah. So we do a team meeting every Tuesday and it's at 11:30 in America and it's here at 5:30. So we do a thing that it's called ABC and we talk about like academics, then basketball, and then
something with a C.
conversation. And so we do that every week, and now we're reading a book all together, and on the conversation we discuss the book. And then on basketball, we're doing like 30 minutes workouts. Like we paired the team paired in groups, and we do like 30 minutes like squats or push-ups or abs or even like ball handling. And I stay in touch with all my teammates on the group chat that we have or normal text message.
It's interesting to think that this is almost the longest time you've been apart from your team, because yeah. A lot of sports on campus, which a lot of athletes I'm sure can attest to, like they're with their team more than they're with their family, more than they're with their friends. And like, this is a complete stop for everyone. So this is probably the longest, especially with you being as far away from home as you are, you tend to stay in school longer. You know, you don't always go home for breaks. So this is probably the longest you've been away from your buddies on the team. Am I right?
Yeah, I definitely miss them. Yeah. And I miss like all my friends and everyone. And I wish we could go back right now and play. Cause like during the year, I wish I had a day off. And now it's like, I don't want more days off. I need to go back.
Don't let Coach hear you saying that. He'll never let you complain again.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, wrap it up, I think a lot of people right now are tuning into Netflix and Hulu, and everyone's downloaded every account possible. I already know what you're watching, I think, knowing you, but what are you watching on Netflix right now?
So
starts with an E, right?
What?
Starts with an E.
Elite?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did watch it. So, yeah, I've been watching a lot of shows. And today, actually, I posted a Snapchat story, and I put, like, my top five series so far.
What are they?
And so I have – my first one is The 100, and then it's Money Heist. It's a Spanish TV show also that it's not finished yet. I think we have a couple more seasons. But it might go on the first position. Depends on the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Peaky Blinders.
We got some head nods on that one, so I think people approve of.
Yeah, it's good. And then Game of Thrones, but this is on HBO, mm-hmm. and Prison Break.
Wow, those are those are long series that you have tuned
yeah.
in. So. How far are you in Game of Thrones?
I'm done. I already watched it.
You already finished?
Yeah.
Wow. 5 weeks in quarantine, you know?
Yeah, but I watched it before. Like, oh, okay. This is like my top five so far of the series that I've watched. But yeah, Elite is definitely going up too.
Well, we just want to thank you for coming on. It's always nice to talk to you. And just to kind of close it up here, can you give anyone that's listening just like a tip or two about like how you've been handling complete lockdown in Spain? You know, we, again, like I said, we don't have that necessarily here in the States, but just anything that you've kind of been focusing on to get you through the day.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing is like have a kind of a schedule, because if not, like your days get super messed up. And I mean, for me here, it's different because I'm 6 hours ahead. So like I have to have my schoolwork in the afternoon instead of the morning when I usually have it for like on the normal days in school. So I think making a schedule and like continue like exercise and do whatever you can. And then like, I hope you don't go on a lockdown, but if you do, like don't stress over, because like if we all stay at home, this is gonna get like fast, like it's gonna be over sooner.
That's right. So good tips, Lula. Those are good.
Yeah.
Our listeners tune into that and take it seriously as we all should. But thank you very much for coming on, Lula. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Lula.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
That will do it for this edition of the Kettle Club podcast. Our thanks again to Caroline and Lula for taking the time to call in.
You can find the Kettle Club and All St. Joseph's Sports Network podcasts at sjuhawks.com/podcast. You can also find them on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and the TuneIn app. Just search for St. Joseph's Sports Network. We'll see you next time, because now more than ever, the Hawk will never die.
Hey Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first.